In a world full of distractions, there is one big question on every dog owner's lips.
How do I become more than just the person holding the other end of the leash?
We all get dogs with a dream in mind, a vision of the future. And if right now your everyday reality isn't quite that picture you had in mind, you are in the right place.
It really doesn't have to be this way.
You absolutely can and will be more to your dog than just the person who gets in between them and the world.
The key is, you need to be more sexy.
More sexy than the neighbourhood cat.
More sexy than the jogger in the park.
More sexy than that half-eaten hamburger they just found on the floor.
And yes, even more sexy than the dog across the road.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Lauren.
Together we're Absolute Dogs.
And you're listening to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast.
Welcome to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that teaches you how to conquer the environment, how to utilize games to be the very best thing in your dog's world.
So today, I think it is going to be pretty epic, although I'm a little scared as to what might be revealed because, you know what, it's an interview with Tom.
And Lauren. So where's this going?
A couple of squirrels involved.
And there are a few squirrels involved. And these questions have been questions that have been sent in by podcast listeners to really, because you, I guess you just want to understand kind of how this all came about and how this happened. And so, yeah, you've sent through questions we're going to answer.
Where did it come from? Basically, how on earth did this epic adventure start? And maybe how did we get involved in dogs in the first place? And we've had a really good scout through the questions. We're going to answer as many as we can. And at the same time, I think we should have a bit of fun. So let's start off with, Tom, your earliest experience, your earliest memory of animals, or where did it come from? Where did this come from, this whole thing?
I guess I can't even think of an earliest memory because I've always been involved and around animals. My family had a sheep farm. And so from the point of view of, you know, first experiences of dogs, well, of course, there were dogs there. There were sheep there by the nature of it being a sheep farm. And yeah, I guess it's just something that I've always been involved in and always been around. And it's never not been around, I guess.
And I think then it's something that you just almost grown up with, right? Like it's something that is just the norm.
Yeah, in fact, and the sort of unusual element of that is that I come from a bit of a different background to what would be a normal kind of like household pet setting. And yet I'm also very, very familiar with that because we also had lots of dogs around us that were, you know, part of the family and we'd go out with them and they'd live a more kind of conventional dog life, let's say. So yeah, how about you, Lauren?
So I always grew up with very probably conventional setup, three family cats, family. We had red setters. When I was very, very small. And then at 11, I had my first dog, rehome, Lurcher, came to us with, I think I went into the rehome centre. It was Plymouth Cats and Dogs Home. So I think now possibly been renamed, I think, Gables Farm. So shout out to them. And they had basically lots and lots and lots of dogs in there. Very, very conventional big kennel. And I remember at 11 going in and bringing home my very first dog. And I basically found the dog that looked the most helpless, the dog that was shaking in the back of the kennel. And I decided that was going to be my dog. And I was going to bring her home and be her savior. And yeah, she lived with us until her old age. And she was probably my earliest experience, my own dog. But like you, growing up with cats and dogs in the house and always having dogs around us, hamsters, pet rats, guinea pigs, pigeons. I know that sounds a little crazy, but all of the above.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, thinking then about how that kind of led to where we are today, which is the next question. I think the big thing for me is that I always wanted to be a dog trainer. So it seemed to make sense to be around dogs, train dogs, work with dogs. And then my parents did the whole thing of being like, oh, you know, you're good at science. Therefore, you should become a vet if you want to be a dog trainer. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, that sounds good. But I want to be a dog trainer. But yeah, sure, I'll do that. And so I went to vet school. And interestingly, it was at vet school that there was a kind of a catalyst to really me pursuing this path. And that was that I was on a sheep farm and a dog ran up to me and I remember it well. I was fishing my sock out of my welly, and obviously that's,
as you do.
Yeah, and that's the most frustrating experience. If anybody's experienced that, you know how
annoying
that is.
Let
alone what happened next. And of course that, you know, in hindsight, that's a very novel experience for a dog who's not really seen all that much in their life. Someone kind of in a frustrated manner trying to fish a sock out of their welly, and the dog ran up to me and jumped up and gave me a kiss on the face, and I sorted my sock out, I walked away, and there was all of a sudden blood on my hands, and I keep walking. I'm like, oh gosh, you must have kind of busted my lip. That was a very strong kiss. And I kept walking, there was more blood. And so I went and looked in the mirror, and sorry guys, if you're remotely squeamish, but you could see my teeth through my lip, and I wasn't actually smiling. The dog had actually bitten me three times. Ooh. and removed like half of my top lip. And weirdly, you know, I guess it was one of those experiences that was either going to make you or break you. And I went away from that thinking, actually, I really want to become a dog trainer, because actually there are dogs out there that are not given the kind of opportunities to kind of learn in a really kind of become ready for the real world. And that dog was a good example of that. And so in a way that kind of then spurred me to do it even more. And it wasn't that long after that we met. So how kind of, where did it go for you, Lauren?
I mean, very, very similarly, we've both talked about this lots. So I was definitely, definitely, definitely always academic. I always wanted to work with dogs. I had paper rounds and I used to walk dogs at the same time. I would have a local dog walking pet shop. Like even as an 11-year-old, I was working in pet shops and things like that, and always loved being around dogs. And at the same time, you know what? Dog training isn't really a career that when you're sort of 15, 16 and you're picking what you're going to do for your A-levels, let alone for your career, it's just not something that's really on the agenda. And when you say to your parents, you want to be a dog trainer, they kind of go, you want to be what?
Yeah.
And so I remember thinking that I kind of enjoyed the dog training. And at the same time, and I was loving agility classes. Even at 16, I was going to the local pet agility classes and the obedience classes. And I was always in and out of classes, loved being part of classes. Had my very first border collie when I was 16. And you know what? Law school was the thing on the cards. You're going to be successful when you're a lawyer. You're going to be absolutely able to do whatever you want and fund whatever you want, was kind of the way it was sold through the sort of system. And yet absolutely wasn't the path that I was destined for. And I'd be in the in the sort of courtrooms writing notes on agility courses and notes on obedience courses and desperate to just get out and play dogs. And at any opportunity that everyone would go home from uni and I would be out there playing and training my dogs on the greens. And so I think dog training was always on the cards. And then it was something that for me, a moment of being promoted, I was in a teacher role. I decided that I would go into teaching. That might be a clever way to get into sort of understanding how to work with people, teach people, maybe dog training on the side. And it was in the moment of being offered a promotion and kind of saying, wow, this is an incredible opportunity and it's not for me. And this is an amazing offer and I don't feel like I can accept it. And the reason I don't feel like I can accept it is this is such an obvious path and it doesn't feel right. Like it really feels quite alien. And you know what, on that day I handed my notice in and it was partway through a term, which is not done if you're a teacher. Like it really is not done. And I decided that at that moment I was going to start our on the ground training business, and that was the moment. And like you said, not long after really we met.
Yeah.
And we met in such, we have to say, Anomica. And Abelaide, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was Abelaide.
And Anomica.
You came for a training session with your poodle. You wanted to get her in new environments.
Yeah.
And Illy was here for a training session. And there was this moment where Anomica needed someone to help hold her dog lead because she was going to do some restrained recalls.
Yeah.
And we also knew that letting off the, what was he? He was a Basset.
Grand Basset Vendéen.
That was what he was.
I think that's how you say it. Something like that.
Please allow us to pronounce it.
He's heavy. Very,
big,
very strong dog.
Hunting
and
boy.
And about 2 inches from the ground.
Yeah,
so you can imagine the strength.
He literally, Tom got him on the lead and we're doing these restrained recalls and it was like this cartoon comedy. Tom was like running. Abelaide was running. Anomica was calling.
Yeah.
There was like a whistle recall moment.
Yeah.
And then he just carried on running.
Under no circumstance
can
you
let
drop
him go.
The long line, because he was, you know, he was early on in
hunting.
His training, let's say, and he was a keen hunter. And so I'm literally being like pulled along this
it was just
this
like this
field.
Like I could just imagine this, like it was like a Popeye sort of cross cartoon character moment with Tom like running and doing like circles with his arms, Abelaide, this hound dog pounding, and Anomica at the other end calling him. And she was calling him, and all of a sudden Abelaide just went straight past Anomica. And then carried on hunting, and Tom was practically on his knees at this point.
The race continued.
And it was just a funny moment. And I think we had a conversation and we said, oh, that would be so funny on camera.
Yeah.
Like, how funny would that be on camera?
And then we, you know, then kind of the next things that happened following that was that, you know, we realized that we both had very similar missions. Of there was a large proportion of really two missions. Firstly, there are dogs all over the world that are being failed by dog training techniques that are out there that are teaching party tricks and not real life results. And we know that real life results are what are going to allow you to achieve your dog owning dream and for you to live a life of freedom rather than constant firefighting. And secondly, that, and this is where it really all started, is that there's a quite a large proportion of dogs that don't fit the mold of being able to go to your typical training class and behave appropriately all the way through.
It's like the square peg round hole scenario, isn't it? Like, there's just not a space for them. And then I think we should add thirdly, there's a lot more fun needed in the world. Like, there's a lot more fun. And I was training in a system that was so regimented and so, at times, let's put it bluntly, dull.
Yeah.
It was dull.
And if it's not working, you've just got to do it harder and longer and more.
And it just didn't feel... And if that dog doesn't fit, then it's the dog's fault.
Yeah.
Like, it just wasn't... The world needs more fun.
Yeah.
The world needs more laughter. The world needs more joy. And you know what? When we were training Abelaide and we were working through with the poodles and we were looking at the... and I'd very early days really for Blink as well. And we were kind of moving into like new territory. It was very, very, very quick. It was very, very, very exciting. And I kind of said to Matt, I think you should meet this guy, Tom. Like, Matt's my partner, if you don't know already, guys. And I said, I think you should meet this guy, Tom, because Matt's really techie. I said, he's a vet. He's training to be a vet. He's really super like up there in the sort
I forget
of,
that we actually Absolute Dog started before I graduated.
Yeah, like literally it was there. Ago. And then the best bit, I don't know if you remember this or not, Tom, but I remember sitting Matt down. I was teaching at Bermuda and Matt was out teaching with me. So we were out and teaching Bermuda. We're teaching dogs life skills and agility. So we were doing both. And Bermuda's an amazing place to teach. And shout out to all the Bermudians because some really cool people out there. And in that moment, I thought, how am I going to get him to like make this happen? Because we kind of needed Matt because he's like he underpins a lot of the craziness and the chaos, right? And I thought, you know what, the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to take him to a bar. He's going to drink and I'm going to get him to sign on the dotted line. And you know,
he's going to promise.
I remember buying this little coloured book. We were in a stationery shop and I remember writing down all the ideas that you and I had already had and thinking, we're going to put a date on this. This is going to happen. As crazy as it might sound, let's do this.
Yeah.
And you'd already, like, me and you were already there. Like, we'd already moved ahead, like, 10 pages.
Yeah.
Matt wasn't quite there yet. The bar and the beer and the evening and the book helped slightly.
And then the mild bullying was successful.
Basically, it was going to happen. And I remember literally signing it with him. So I suppose... Did you ever imagine, Tom, that we'd be where we are now?
So I think that is it kind of like leads on to the next part of the story, that then Absolute Dog started, and I think within a few months, Training Academy, the first kind of release of it happened, and Training Academy's been going like 7 or 8 years now.
Like, Training Academy has some followers and some academics and members and teamies that have been with us right from the start,
from
and we are talking 7 to 8 years of super cool fun, energy. I don't think they're there just for the dog training. I think they are there for the experience, the love, the joy, the energy, the space.
Absolutely.
I mean, and the dog training.
Yeah, absolutely. And then kind of what happened next is that there were these stories started to come in about how, you know, dogs had achieved real life results and transformation when actually they had been unsuccessful before. And that was, and then people were also emailing and messaging in saying that, you know, actually it's really impacted their life for the better in that, you know, they've been able to get rid of their therapist and replaced it with Absolute Dogs videos because it's uplifting and it's about surrounding yourself with yay sayers rather than naysayers. And then in parallel to that, what we were becoming increasingly aware of is the dogs that are being failed by conventional training in the form of dogs that end up in rehoming centres, or worse still, because they've been told that there is no hope in the situation that they're in. And we know that games can unlock this hope. And at the same time, I'd become a vet behaviourist, and I was aware that that area was also causing challenges, in that dogs were being prescribed drug after drug without an appropriate training plan and games plan to go with it. And it was massively impacting the relationships with the dogs, and also making people really feel like there was no hope with their dog when there absolutely was. And so it kind of like all of our energies went into this, and it all went crazy, and it all went into the point of like, this is now a mission.
It kind of exploded, right? Like, yeah. It did explode. So I've got a message here, Tom, and I just thought it'd be worth sharing and shouting out, really. And it's only come in this morning, and what you were saying, I just thought I had to share. Yeah. It. And it said, it's from Sue. I don't think she'll mind us saying, and she's part of the Academy Club. And she said, Lauren Langman, Tom Mitchell, I just want to say a huge heartfelt thank you. Thank you for always turning up and showing up. Thank you for being a ray of sunshine in an uncertain world. Thank you for the extra impromptu lives that you give us. These are the sort of courses that just get your blood pumping. Whatever difficult times you're going through, you never make excuses as to why you can't be here. I really wish all courses in the world were like this. I absolutely hope one day I'll be able to make it to Devon to meet you guys. Much love to you both. And I think what I want to say, I suppose, is that's not like an unusual message, right? Like, we receive like so many cool messages. I'm just reading another one here, and she's saying, this is a Samantha, and she's saying, I've been a member for 18 months, best thing I've ever been part of. There's always help, there's always advice, there's always fellow students who want to support, there's so much experience. It's such a great place to be, and I love that about what we do.
Kind of what happened is it became our mission, and then something happened that we didn't anticipate. We didn't know it was going to happen. It wasn't purposeful. It was that it became the mission of millions of other people, in that then we had this community of game changers. This is when actually the ripple is really happening, and that then there are millions of game changers all over the world that are actively screaming, there's a game for that,
and
guys.
And they are yay-sayers too, right? Yeah. Like that suddenly you've got this like whole community of yay-sayers.
Who are going on to transform people and dogs themselves.
Like all over. So the ripple effect suddenly got a lot bigger when we started, I suppose, to realise that actually this was the light that people needed in their worlds, and this was the light that people were missing in their days. And just like Sue and Samantha and so many other people who reach out to us, actually, Absolute Dogs is amazing for dog training, for sure, and at the same time is so much more in its own way.
And that, you know, to kind of put this into perspective, that has led to this dog training movement, this games-based transformation movement, reaching 5 million plus people a week on Facebook.
I was going to ask you that, like, what was the
70 to 100 million people have watched our videos in the last 365 days, right? And then you think about, so for every one person that might watch a video or might kind of interact with Facebook or Instagram or the YouTube channel or whatever it might be, they then go on to actually impact loads of people and dogs themselves by saying, hey, I know that loads of people have told you there's no hope, but actually there's a game for that. And here are the games that you might want to have a play with and you might want to try. And the thing is that, and you know, Lauren says this really often, that those relationships between people and animals, and as dogs especially, they are complex, they're precious, they're very passionate.
They're very special, and they're something that you'll never, ever necessarily completely understand.
Yeah.
Like, each one is unique.
Yeah.
Each one is, we were chatting to a client who's, he's come back from Afghanistan, and he's basically said that his dog and his training and his relationship with his dog has basically saved his life.
Yeah.
And I think that we don't ever quite understand the enormity for some people of exactly what this means and exactly how powerful this is. And I suppose, it's complex.
Yeah, and you know, you think, like, all of you listening, knowing how precious these relationships are, imagine if you just impacted one relationship for the better. Imagine if you saved a relationship. Now imagine if that relationship goes on to save other relationships. And that's where it gets exciting. That's where it's almost like a call to arms as the game changers to say, you know what, there are plenty of naysayers out there in the world, but how about we as an army of yay-sayers go out there, we impact the dog world in a positive way.
We put out optimism and we exude like energy and we exude fun and we exude like love, energy, light. Like it's a cool space to be
there's
in.
There's a game for that, right?
There's always a way. And it is the whole solutions mindset, right? Like I was chatting to someone yesterday and for every single solution I came up with, they had a problem. Like there was a problem for every solution. Yeah. And we're like, you know what? We got another solution and another solution and we are going to get there. So then moving on really quickly, Tom, what would you say would be over the last 7, 8, however many years this is, because it kind of gets lost, doesn't it? What would be one of your favorite moments? One of your like, this was a moment that stood out?
I would say it probably goes to what is my favorite time of year, which is the Super Trainer Live time of year, where actually you get to meet all the game changers that come from all over the world to kind of be there and experience Super Trainer Live in person. And it kind of makes you realize, and it goes back to what we were just talking about, that really the relationships that get saved, not just saved, but skyrocketed and transformed, and people are living their dog owning dream. They're real people. They're real dogs. They're really special people. And we are, you know, as a community of game changers, we are so lucky that we get to, that we found each other. So many people go through life, they don't discover something they're interested in. They don't discover something they're remotely interested in. There are a small proportion of people that discover something that they're passionate about. But then they discover something that they're passionate about, but they don't discover other people that are passionate about it. So again, it kind of fizzles out, or they try their best, but there are loads of naysayers in their life telling them that they can't do it or they shouldn't do it, or telling them that there's no hope. And the thing is about this Absolute Dogs community, the community of game changers, is that we've all discovered something we're passionate about. We've all discovered a mission, and we've all discovered a family that effectively is worldwide, that shares that same passion and raises us up rather than pulls us down. And that's special, right? How about for you, Lauren?
I literally, as you're talking, I'm loving what you're saying, and I'm realizing it gives me goosebumps just thinking about all the people that have been to that event. So that event for sure. And then there's so many more, and I it's hard to pick. I would say the two, and I have to go two because they're both really powerful, I think, for me. One is Pro Dog Trainer. Actually, coming from a teaching background and loving teaching and being passionate about teaching and being passionate about growth and being passionate about learning and missions and doing what you love. For me, being able to see Pro Dog Trainer go from an idea to being actually, we help people learn to not only coach dogs, but to grow their passion and to work within their passion and
change
to have
their
passion and to change their whole life and to have like something that might be initially like a side hustle and then turn into something that just literally becomes like bigger than sometimes they can't even hold the reins of it because that for me is like I just get a huge feeling of, that's a really special thing that we've been able to be part of. So many people's journeys into having the confidence to step outside of their comfort zone and to do something that really makes a difference for them, doing something that changes their families, doing something that changes their families' lives, changes their whole world, and knowing that they're doing something they love. Like that for me, setting up Pro Dog Trainer and seeing now over 2,000 people go through Pro Dog Trainer and going
and
out
go
there
on to impact, you know, thousands of people in their own right.
I mean, that for me blows me away. Like, that's cool. And then the second one, I think I have to say again, just on impact level, would be the Sexier Than a Squirrel Challenge, in the sense that lockdown hit, and you know what, a lot of people's mental health went and plummeted with it, and so many people were in a sad space and a down space. And I feel like Sexier Than a Squirrel, as much as yes, it's a dog training program, I feel like we had a huge impact and we helped so many people through a really tough time.
And it kind of led the game changers to all lean in together and say, right, we are going to, you know, we're going to manage our focus. We're going to focus on things that make us feel great in this difficult time. We're all going to be yay-sayers.
The energy through doing it, like even on days where I know a lot of people had tough days, because we were leaning in together and because the emotion was good together. And it was like, I remember one evening, one of the game changers messaged me and just said, oh, we really need to do like a pajama party. I'm feeling really down. She was like, I really need someone to like push. And she said, I feel it for other people too. I feel like lots. I was like, right, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I was literally heading to bed. And instead I was doing this live with I think at the time it was like 700 people live and then so many people afterwards. And I felt like we had huge purpose, and I felt like we had huge mission, and I felt like we were guiding people through a really tough time with cool energy, with lots of fun, with keeping it real, with trying not to think about things we couldn't control, with trying to keep people on task, on focus, one step in front of the other. And I just felt like you make a difference. And I think when you're making a difference and you're seeing someone else have more purpose and have yeah. more energy and have more, I suppose being in a good space mm. and being able to look after people's mental health to a degree, I think that's where this is different. And it's, yes, we were dog training yeah. and we were doing something bigger.
And the cool thing is that collective group of game changers that we all are, all of you listening, we all have this like collective, not responsibility, because that sounds negative. It's actually collective mission of saying, you know what, let's be the yay sayers in countless people's lives and let's raise them up. So I guess, you know, those of you that haven't taken part in that Sexier Than a Squirrel challenge, it's well over 20,000 people have experienced
it. I mean, that is insane in itself, like 20,000 plus people. And I remember someone was talking about like Joe Wicks every morning and I was like, how about Joe Wicks in the morning, how about Sexier Than a Squirrel morning, lunch, dinner? Like it was powerful. But over 20,000 people, so can people still get involved
yeah,
in that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can head to absolutedogs.me/sexy. As a podcast listener, you get over 70% off through that link, and the cool thing is that you get to experience it day by day, just as tens of thousands of other people have. And I guess, guys, you know, that kind of rounds off to nicely think about, actually, we each have this as our mission, whether that's, you know, in the supermarket, we make somebody's day, whether that is that you see somebody in the squirrel challenge group needing support or needing a lift and you help them out, whether that's you see somebody struggling in the park and you say, hey, you know what, there's a game for that, check this out on Facebook, whatever it might be. We've all got a responsibility, and that in turn creates a ripple. And that, I guess, I know that you kind of, the idea was that you'd send questions to us and you'd interview us, but we're kind of putting it back.
We're putting
you.
Some interview here back on you. We're putting some onus yeah. here back on you. We want to make sure that we do the best that we can yeah. and that we are the best that we can be. And that's you included. Like yeah. you're part of that.
Absolutely. So let's make it a mission. So with that, guys.
Oh, Tom, no. Oh, one more thing.
Oh,
one
word.
More thing. Just very quickly, what's it like to be part of the Absolute Dogs team? I've just got a few of the team players, our team players, because it's not just about
oh, cool.
you and I, right?
I like, didn't so know you have this.
I do. I've got this up my sleeve, and I just want to read out a few of the people, and you can read a few too if you fancy.
Oh, cool.
So
my
we've
word.
Got,
I've not read these. Exciting.
So
these are from the Absolute Dogs team.
Yeah, this is
oh,
the team.
Word.
So that's the other cool thing, that through lockdown, lots of companies got into a position where they didn't need their team members. We actually yeah. took on new team members through lockdown. Like our team has got bigger and our team's yeah. expanded, and we have such a special community of team players. So a couple of things that the team players have said: it's like riding the biggest roller coaster, fun, fast, and taking the world by storm, getting bigger and better. That's what it's like being part of the Absolute Dogs team. And that's from Sarah.
I love that one. So I've got here, fun, thrilling, never a dull moment. There's lots of variety. I love how all ideas are welcomed and it's a whole team effort. That's from Kelly. That's so cool, Kelly.
I absolutely really, really, really want to find, I'm trying to find where it's gone. It's down here. I pinch myself every day. Is this a dream? Is this my reality? Is this the team I get to be part of? Oh my gosh, they are amazing. Fast paced. The experience is ever changing and evolving, full of such an incredible opportunity. Dana, that was. And that's just such a nice one.
One more. Let's go for, oh my word, this one. This is going to make me cry. There's trust, support, happiness, so much laughter, and a lot of love and respect. I'm not a sports person. I've never been in that kind of team situation, but I imagine it feels a lot like that, where everyone has each other's backs and raises each other up a level. Ultimate squad goals. I love it, Katie. Well done.
I so am pleased you read Katie's there, because I love that too. Yeah. You know what? I think that's something also that we should just share. Like, Absolute Dogs is not just Tom and I. Mm-hmm. Of course, Tom and I love what we do. At the same time, there's an amazing team underneath us and working like with us really mm-hmm. hard. Yeah. Like, they are constantly underpinning what we do yeah. because if not, it would be chaos.
Yeah.
So that was from them just saying yeah. what they felt about the Absolute Dogs team. So,
and
yeah,
guys,
it's cool.
I guess, you know, that they're the voices of like that core team that really kind of are constantly providing and serving you all. And you know what? Actually, Absolute Dogs, we're a much bigger team. We're a team of game changers all over the world. You as a listener, you're part of that team, and we're creating this ripple that is transforming owners' lives, transforming dogs' lives. And if we each continue to make this our mission, which you can bet we are, and I imagine you are too, well, then, you know what? No dog is ever going to be lost again. So with that, guys, that was this episode of the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. We'll see you next week for another exciting installment. And remember,
stay sexy.
Hey, before you go, have you taken part in the worldwide Sexier Than a Squirrel Challenge?
It's a 25-day online video program. Huge energy, amazing community, and over 6,000 people are already taking part.
The only question is, you know where you are today, where do you want to be 25 days from now? Head to absolutedogs.me/sexy.